This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call or send us an email. Talk sports with us right here on the Wednesday edition of Sports Talk 870. Our first guest is Kathy Klages, the head coach of Michigan State's gymnastics team. So give us a call if you want to talk a little gymnastics this afternoon right here on AM 870. So let's bring in the coach. Kathy, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Earl. How are you?
Hey, doing pretty good and glad to talk to you. I know you've had a couple of scrimmages, so how did that help your team this year? Was that something different you did to having two scrimmages long before the season is starting?
Yes, it is something. We tried it last year, and we liked it so much we decided to try it again. Last year we did our green and white here at Michigan State practice facility, and then we also had a practice scrimmage here at Michigan State, so in the practice facility. And so being allowed to use that practice facility, we are able to do some softer landings. We have a tumbling strip that goes into a resi pit, which is a very soft landing, and so we found it to be very beneficial last year. Western Michigan is the team that came in last year. And then this year, Western was not interested in doing that again, but we really liked the idea. And the University of Michigan contacted me. And since we had done it last year, I said, well, if you guys want to host, we'll come to you. And they said, great. And they held it at Chrysler Arena. So that is their competition venue. So that's very different than a practice situation where you've got soft landings to land on, and if somebody's not quite 100% ready to do it on a harder surface like the regular competition landing surface, we can do that. And that's what we did last year against Western. This year we did a full-out inner squad, a scrimmage in the competition arena. And so it was a much more upscale, shall we say, experience for our student-athletes.
Yeah, how do those two experiences help prepare you for the upcoming season?
Well, first of all, we have 8 freshmen on our team. That's about half of our team, and so they have never even participated in a college event, and it's very different than private club gymnastics. And so both events gave them the experience of being in a meet setting in the way that it's going to be run and as a team where we do vault, bars, beam, floor in Olympic order. That's what we do at home. And at away meet at Michigan, we went bars, vault, and then floor, beam. And so they got to experience that whole venue. Obviously, being in Chrysler Arena, which has been redone and is beautiful, big old Jumbotron up there, a good crowd for a scrimmage competition. And so they got to have that feeling of being away, being in a big arena and having a large crowd there cheering them on. So it was a great experience.
Yes. Now, playing in a meet like that, playing against one of your main rivals, I assume that really helped the freshmen, the young ones who haven't played in a meet before, gave them a good sense of what to expect down the road.
Definitely. I think it was a superb learning experience for our team. Again, not one athlete had ever competed in Chrysler. Last year when we went to Michigan, they had shut Chrysler down, so we competed in Keene Arena. They were, doing the renovations, so we weren't in there. So not one of these athletes that were on this team had ever competed in Chrysler Arena. So that was a really good experience, first of all, for them. And then secondly, I think that the fact that you actually put them in a what I would call a real meet situation, not one that's padded with softer landings or you can get spots or you can do, different things. We ran it just like a real meet, and so certainly gave them that experience of what it was all about.
Yes, so with them getting that experience, that's got to be real helpful. How did you scout your opposition when you look at them in a setting like that, and you're still a long way from playing them, having a regular meet against against them. So how do you use that as a scouting experience?
Well, I think that Michigan has dominated the Big Ten for so many years. I think they've won 18 out of 21 Big Ten championships, and so they're really a prominent team in the Big Ten. So be able to compare our team to them and see how close or how far away we are, I think, was a great experience. The fact that we actually have upgraded a lot of our difficulty in our routines, and we actually performed that, higher difficulty. So we had some mistakes. There's no doubt about it. We definitely had some mistakes, but they're mistakes that we know we've seen the athletes perform properly in the practice gym. And so we know, you know, it might have been nerves, or it might have been a little bit of, you know, being a little bit overwhelmed, being in Chrysler, or whatever the reason for those mistakes. We feel like we can now make a correction and say, okay, well, you remember what it felt like when you were in Chrysler. Michigan's a dominant team. They did very well that night. They did have some mistakes also. It's early in the season, so they did have some mistakes. But I think being able to see that we have made some improvements from last year, and we're going to be able to truly compete this year in the Big Ten championships. I feel like last year we knew that we were one of the lesser teams in the Big Ten, and that's not a very good feeling. You don't like it much as a coach. You don't like it much as an athlete. So yeah. It feels much, much better. We have a strong freshman class that has really added a lot to our program, and so we're going to compete this year. That's exciting.
Yes, yeah, so now with you having the competing against Michigan and all the other teams in the Big Ten, I was going to ask you next, how tough is the Big Ten in gymnastics? How is it as a gymnastics conference?
Well, it is improving all the time. With the addition of Nebraska, they have been a top 10 team for many, many years. They actually won the Big Ten championship last year, first year in the conference, won the championship. And so I think they bring a lot of higher level competition to the conference. And then Ohio State made a massive improvement last year. They actually finished second in the Big Ten last year, and so they've definitely done a very nice job of moving that program along. They qualified for nationals for the first time in a lot of years. Illinois qualified for nationals the last couple of years, and so the conference is getting much stronger. The SEC is still the strongest gymnastics conference in the nation, but it's nice to feel like the Big Ten conference is getting closer.
Yes, and that is good for us here in the Midwest, especially for those who like gymnastics, want to come to the meet, and especially if you can compete for the national championship, that would be good for Michigan State, of course, and all the Michigan State followers. That's the thing with Michigan State. It seems like no matter what sport you have or coach, they've got a good following here at Michigan State, don't they?
Absolutely. It's such a great university and such a great place to be a part of. I'm honored to be the coach here, and I've been here a long time, and every day I'm humbled and honored to be a part of this great university.
Yes, you've been here a long time. I've been here a long time with you.
Yes,
yeah.
That is true.
Yes, we've both been a long time and seen a lot of ups and downs here at Michigan State. So tell us a little bit about this year's team. How good do you think they're going to be? And some of the freshmen you brought in, what's their specialties?
Well, I think that, when you're competing freshmen, you never really know for sure what's going to happen. But I think they do have a lot of national experience, so that will help us when we get them on the competition floor. The fact that we have a strong leader in our – we only have one senior, but we have a strong leader in that senior, Tara Neal. She's done a wonderful job. She's an extremely talented athlete, has battled injuries all of her career. But, this is her last year and her last go-around, and so she's really excited about really focusing in and having a great year, and she's done a superb job with her leadership. She is the captain of our team. I think that with her leadership and then the addition of the freshmen, we have a freshman that's here from Canada that has done an incredible job. She has really raised the difficulty level of our program with some of the skills that she does. We have another freshman coming in from Florida. Her name was Nicola Deans, and then Lisa Bird is here from Florida, and she had a superb senior year in the club scene and performed extremely well and turned a lot of heads, and we were really proud when she would say, "I'm committed to Michigan State." So having her here is a strong plus for our program. Then we have a local kid by the name of Brittany Holmes, who she trained at Twist Arts Gymnastics for many, many years, and then her senior year actually transferred to another club called Mega Gymnastics. But she's a local kid. She lives in Lansing, and she attended Grand Ledge High School, and she is just a very consistent, nothing rattles her type of performer. So she has shown us all fall that she is going to be one of those kids that you can count on. She goes out into the competition, you can count on her to hit her routine. So we're really, really pleased with that addition. Plus, we've got a couple of sophomores that didn't compete as much last year due to injury, and they're back with a vengeance. They really want to get on that competition floor. So add it all together, we're pretty excited about where our program's going headed.
Yes, with so many new players coming in, how do you factor all that in? You've got new ones and you've got old players in, and that has to make a pretty good mix for you, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and it's interesting because I often say it does. You know, the team doesn't really gel until Christmas break, mm-hmm. when they're here by themselves and they can hang out together a lot. But interesting enough, this team has gelled very early. The upperclassmen knew how important it was to get those freshmen on board immediately. So, the first day everybody was here, the upperclassmen were over meeting with the freshmen and helping them out and showing them the ropes, and just really have done a superb job of making them feel welcome. Often the freshmen are the kids that are like, oh, you're just a freshman, go sit over here, go do this, go do that. We've really included them in quickly, and the team has bonded extremely well. It's probably one of the best teams I've had in the sense of team camaraderie, and I think that's a plus for your success. It's definitely a start for in the right direction for a greater success. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, how is the volleyball in general on the high school scene in Michigan? Do we have good competition at the high school scene?
Actually, the high school scene is quite a lot lower level than what the private club scene is. So we don't recruit out of the high schools at all. You may find a gymnast that might, do high school gymnastics, but she also is a prominent member of her local gymnastics club. It is very rare for us to take one high school, a girl that just competed high school and have her be on the team. We do have a young lady by the name of Christine Wilson who was a Grand Ledge superstar in the high school scene, and she has walked onto our team, and she did make the cuts, so she is a member of our team. But her level of gymnastics quite isn't up to the level of the other kids that did club gymnastics. So she's working hard every single day in the gym trying to improve, but it will be difficult for her to make a lineup this year.
Do you have many players who want to come out and try out just as like she did, that they come from clubs or from high schools, and they just want to try out to see if they're good enough to compete at this level?
We do have tryouts, or we have many kids that contact us and realize that they may not be scholarship material. We have 12 full athletic scholarships, and we have 17 girls on our team. And so, we do have, five walk-ons that are participating members of our program. And it's interesting because, we don't treat them any different. They're a member of the team, and so we expect them to work just as hard and to do all the extracurricular activities that we participate in, and they're just flat-out members of the team, and they're working hard. And we have a number of athletes that are interested in, at least communicating with us to see if they could possibly walk on the team. And then it's a little rarer for the person to just be here at Michigan State and come and contact me and say, hey, I'm at Michigan State, I'd really like to try out for the gymnastics team, and not had any contact with me prior to that. That's very unusual.
Yes, so it looks like you're going to have a pretty good year. When is the first official gymnastics meet coming up?
The first official meet is Saturday, January 12th. It's at 4 p.m. It's against Western Michigan University. And then we immediately jump into our Big Ten schedule, and we meet Nebraska and Illinois away. We have our breast cancer awareness meet on Friday, February 1st against Minnesota. We're going to have an autism meet again this year. Dr. Larry Nassar is really involved in the autism group, and so we're going to be hosting an autism meet, and we highlight that with some special needs kids performing gymnastics, which is pretty exciting. We finish the year at home with Michigan, and then we go on the road for a couple of meets, and we're back home for the Big Ten Championships on Saturday, March 23rd.
Okay. Hey, Coach, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking gymnastics with you. I look forward to talking with you again during – we'll get together again sometime during the season.
Sounds great, Earl. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. And that's Kathy Klages, the MSU gymnastic coach right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
The 2012 election concludes in Louisiana. DeMint's departure sets up a three-ring circus in South Carolina with both Senate seats in the State House up in 2014. And as the president prepares to reshuffle his cabinet, speculation swirls about 2016 and Hillary Clinton's plans. I'm Neil Cunningham, our weekly chat with the political junkie. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It's good to have you with us today. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. Look for a high of 38 degrees as skies become mostly sunny. Partly cloudy with an overnight low tonight of 25. For Thursday, a sunny day and a high of 41. Mostly sunny with a high staying in the low 40s Friday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Now, if you want a chance to win tickets to MSU hockey, give us a call at area code 517-884-4783. Right now, let's talk with Chris Solari from the Lansing State Journal. Talk about this coming weekend. It's going to be a big weekend out here on campus for Michigan State sports. So let's bring in Chris. Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great, Earl. How you doing today?
Hey, doing good. Glad you're with us. Talking about this weekend featuring the Game of Change and a lot of alumni coming back. You know, I'm looking forward to that alumni game because, as you know, I know most of those guys who will be coming back.
Yeah, let's not forget that there's going to be a lot of alumni created, too, yeah, this weekend with graduation going on.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's so many things going on around here the last couple of weeks. It's been one whirlwind after another, but that alumni game is going to be fantastic. I mean, it's a shame that Judd Heathcote can't be there for this because he's almost, as much as Gus Ganakis has been around forever, this is kind of the Judd Heathcote program. He's kind of the patriarch of everything with being Tom's mentor and really taking the program to its first basketball national title. It's a shame he couldn't make it back to see everything that he built in his time here is, I believe, about 19 years on campus. So it's going to be sad not to see Judd there. Hopefully they can do something special where they can maybe get him to Skype in or something. I'm sure he'd be very, very up on today's technology, knowing Judd. But I think it's going to be great, see Magic back there in some capacity and, get to see some of those guys hit that court at Breslin or at Jenison one last time, which I've seen a few pictures of it, and it looks like it's going to be a fantastic event and a fantastic venue.
Yes, because as we know, with all the guys coming back, let's just hope that a few of them won't be sidelined. Like, we don't have injuries, and we're still walking around. A lot of these guys will end up being walking wounded after playing in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how intense it's going to be. I mean, especially for some of the old, if the older guys are going to match up with the older guys, if the younger guys are going to match up with the older guys, there's points where it could be a very competitive game when you start to look at guys. I mean, how much fun might it be to see Mateen Cleaves going against Travis Walton? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the kind of things that you sketch out on paper when some of these teams are on campus. Saying, oh boy, how does this team stack up with the 2000 team, or how does the 2009 team stack up with the 2002 team? Or we're actually going to get to actualize some of that. Maybe a little bit past some of these guys' prime, and nothing wrong with that. We all are getting older. I know that myself. But it's going to be a fun celebration all weekend. I mean, you got the women's game on Sunday. They're going to have a number of alums back for that game against IPFW. You got the celebration of the Game of Change against Tuskegee on Saturday, which more than likely won't be much of a game, but it'll be a definite celebration with the Commodores concert. And you know what? I've got one bone to pick with Mark Hollis here. Mm-hmm. You know, Mark Hollis gets so much credit and he gets so many compliments, but I'm so disappointed in Mark Hollis, the marketing guru, for not getting Lionel Richie back together with the Commodores for this show.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
If Mark Hollis could have pulled that off, I believe he would have had a future down in Motown, maybe with Barry Gordy. We could have set him up.
Yeah, could have did something like that. Yeah, if he could have got, boy, that would have been nice. Because I emceed that Commodores concert when they came here back in the 70s. So I definitely remember them.
That was at Jenison, right?
Yes, it was. Yep. I remember that. Lionel Richie was in good form back then, being the Commodores. I think they maybe had been together for like 3 or 4 years, but this was like one of their first major concert tours.
That's fantastic. That's definitely something I'm sure that you remember, and that a lot of people that are around here remember very vividly.
Yep. That's for sure. Yeah, a lot of people do. One thing I do remember about being in Jenison, Tom Izzo and I used to talk a lot back in those days. Tom was just, the coach of the freshmen and such, and just one of the a volunteer coach basically on the Spartans. And him and I used to sit around talking all the time about basketball and the future of basketball. So that was a lot of fun. I don't know if I'll get a chance to talk with Tom and talk about some of the memories, but we used to share a lot of goals and a lot of secrets back in those days.
Oh, that's great. I mean, that's I think the real nice part is, I mean, that's where Tom got his career started as well. I mean, you know, let's face it, this is where the history of the program, I believe that Jenison was completed in 1940. So, I mean, you know, it's over 70 years old as a building. There's so many wonderful memories. Brian Calloway is putting together a really good piece looking at some of the top moments in Jenison history for this week, for Friday, which hopefully people will look at the Lansing State Journal and get their memories jogged a little bit. But it spans so far beyond basketball. It spans the building itself is just a beautiful edifice. I mean, if you look at the outside and the carvings on it, and just the history of it, it's really part of the transition from Michigan State College to Michigan State University. It really is. I mean, when you think about it, what was built and how soon after MSU got into the Big Ten, it really is such a piece of history. And it's nice to not only honor the path of the program, but honor the history in that building.
Oh, yes.
It's a fantastic venue.
Yeah, of course, as you know, when wrestling used to be really big here in Michigan State, and that was they were a national power back in the 60s and 70s. So I remember going over there a lot of times just to watch the wrestling team wrestle. They were that good back then.
I heard that there were some epic matches that got that place packed. Like almost like it was a basketball game, right?
Yes, yeah, they were. They you know, they'd have 5,000-6,000 people in this there over there. I think they might have reached that 10,000 mark a couple of times. But yeah, it was a tremendous venue for basketball for men, and then again, of course, later on the women came in, you know, under Title IX and such, and they made a lot of good memories as well.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, talking about some of the other moments in that beautiful venue. I mean, you know, in talking to Magic Johnson this summer when he was back for the Lansing Hall of Fame induction for his sister and for that Everett team, he talked about playing against Jay Vincent there.
Yes.
And I believe it would have been early 77.
Yep.
And when they were seniors in high school before they came to Michigan State. And if there's any game that people have talked about and, you know, mythologized and said they were there when maybe they weren't, it was that one, because, well, there was about 10,000-12,000 people in there. I heard they packed them up to the rafters as far as they could, stacking bodies on top of bodies because people wanted to see that game.
Yes, they did. I mean, Jenison, and that was the tragedy of Michigan State, and actually on Magic, he was in the way. Jay never got a chance to compete for the state championship because Magic was in his way every year, and he beat him every year, beat his team. So that's the tragedy for Jay in his climb. He became a good Spartan, but I wonder what would have happened if he had a chance to play for a state championship, which never happened. But I often wondered about that if that had kicked in.
Yeah, and I mean, those matchups, I mean, that's something that Magic talked about, just one of the big special memories that he's had of his life and basketball life in Lansing was that game. He said, he told me that game at Jenison against Jay and that team was the defining moment. That's the one that pointed him to Michigan State, and that says something right there.
Yes, and boy, and you think about with Jay and with Irvin, you know, I mean, two kids coming from Lansing to go on and have good careers in the pros. You usually hear about a couple of kids maybe from the same area on a big team, on a big city team, but very rarely do you have two kids from such a small town in Lansing that make it all the way to the pro game.
Yeah, no kidding, and I mean, even then you talk about Sam Vincent coming up behind them. And I mean, that golden era of Lansing basketball is so, I think, relevant today because of the way that it's become in Lansing as well the last few years. I mean, you've seen a number of guys, you've seen, Al Horford go to the pros, and you've seen all the guys that have come through here in the last few years, Dante Henton out east now, and Alex Gauna and the guys that have come through, Denzel Valentine, that the talent on that Sexton team. I mean, it's almost like the 2010s are a direct correlation to those mid to late 70s years around Lansing in terms of basketball talent.
Oh yes, I can date myself an age. I remember when Carlton Valentine first came up here and played his 4 years. I mean, he stayed, and he's a big coach now at Sexton. But boy, I remember those days when he was a 6'5" center who played and scored up over 20 points a game. And somehow, I was amazed back then how he was able to get a shot off against the bigger guys. The guys were 6'8", 6'9", and even a couple of 7-footers. But he was always able to get a shot off, and I was truly amazed on how he could do that at 6'5".
Yeah, and I mean, it's amazing because I think Carlton has really helped develop. I mean, you're talking about another guy.
Yes.
And I believe that Carlton was here. Was he here at the end of Jenison, or was it right at the start of Breslin?
He didn't play any games in Breslin, but yeah, he was there. I guess he was here at the end of Jenison for those last few years.
Yeah, and I think that's amazing because I think he's transitioned basketball in this area to that quicker, faster paced game that he learned from Morgan Wooten.
Yeah.
It's really done a nice job in terms of rebuilding what Lansing basketball is. And hey, maybe, I know that that Mark Hollis said this is probably going to be the last basketball game in Jenison, but maybe someday we'll be able to get some sort of high school game there. I know they have the MHSAA does the Fan Fest there every year, and that's a great way to tie the history of that building into the community and the event that is the basketball finals. So who knows? Maybe we'll get to see some good games there. All I know is that in the summertime, there's no better place to be than going over there during the camps and watching some of those kids go at it up and down and put in the hard work and pour out that sweat to get to Breslin, to get to those bigger venues. It's really neat that it's still being used in some capacity to build the basketball players of the future.
Yes. Hey, we've done so much reminiscing, so let's turn our attention for the next few minutes and talk about this year's team, about this year's Spartan team. How do you see this this team going? They're off to a pretty good start, 8-2? So they're off to a good start, aren't they?
Yeah, and they've had struggles, too. I mean, it hasn't been a primrose path to that 8-2. They've struggled with the turnovers. They've struggled with outside shooting. They've struggled with injuries. And they're still there at 8-2, and I think that, as Tom said, this team's just learning how good it can be right now. I think that, you know, when you see a full Brandon Dawson, a fully healthy Brandon Dawson here, probably around the start of the Big Ten season, he can elevate his game and the team's game to the next level. As Gary Harris continues to get healthy from that shoulder injury, you're going to see what kind of an offensive impact he's going to be, because I do believe that he's probably their best outside shooter. And that's not saying taking anything away from Travis Trice or any of the other guys. I just think that Harris just has that catch-and-shoot rhythm that few kind of players have. It's such a silky jump shot from the outside, and he can be a difference maker. And then Travis Trice, too, when he gets back to full strength after that concussion and a broken nose, he's going to be, I mean, I think he has 10 three-pointers already. He changes the pace of the game for Michigan State and gets them running up and down the way they want. And I think that Loyola game over the weekend really helped them in a lot of ways, because it shows that they can close out a tough game, and it shows that, and that's a good team that they played, and it's a tough team for the style that they play against Michigan State. And I think that those are real building blocks towards the Big Ten season. And I think, as much as Tom has bemoaned maybe the travel piece of the schedule with going to Germany and then Atlanta and then all the road games, I think that, you know, big picture, when the Big Ten season gets into the heat in the middle of February and into March, I think Michigan State's already battle-tested. And I think that's, I mean, we talk about that every year, it seems like, but this year, especially with the amount of adversity they've already gone through, I think they'll be ready for the Big Ten tournament by the time it comes around.
You know, Chris, I'm so impressed this year, because the Big Ten is one of the toughest conferences, as we know, year in and year out. It's one of the toughest conferences in the nation. But this year, we've got like six teams ranked in the top 25, and it's really good from top to bottom. I mean, I must admit, I am surprised a little bit by how good Minnesota is and Illinois are. They're both very good teams. And you look up and down the Big Ten conference record, I guess you'd say the only really bad teams would be Nebraska and Penn State.
Yeah, and it's funny, because that's actually what Tom mentioned on the Big Ten teleconference this week, is that he said there's 10 really good teams in the Big Ten, and some people thought that maybe he forgot that there were two more teams, but I think that's let me point this out, too. Mm-hmm. I think that Nebraska, with their new facilities and with Tim Miles, this year's not going to be their year, but they're building towards something. I've known Tim Miles for a number of years, and he is a very good program builder and a very good coach, a very personable coach, and someone the Big Ten is going to really enjoy having in the conference. But not right now. They're still struggling to get on their feet in the Big Ten, and Penn State obviously has struggled to get on their feet in the Big Ten throughout their 20 plus years in the league. And you're right, though. Minnesota's looked really good. I mean, Tubby's got another very good team. Getting Mbakwe back absolutely makes them a legitimate threat in this league. Illinois is playing a lot better. Northwestern's playing better. Iowa's playing better. I mean, you can't take a night off in this conference right now, and that's at 12 teams. Imagine when you start getting up into that 14, 16 team range, and if some of these powers that they're talking about maybe joining the Big Ten with a Kansas or a North Carolina or both or any permutation of that, I mean, this is going to be must-see basketball. I mean, as much as it's a football move, it's going to be must-see basketball. And this year's going to be must-see basketball. I mean, you know, I can't wait to see those Michigan State-Indiana games, because, I mean, you know they're going to be just absolute dogfights. They really are.
Yes, they are. I mean, you're right. I mean, I can't wait to see those games either. We're going to see some fans. For all the basketball fans, you're going to love this basketball you're going to see this winter here at Breslin Arena, because you've got a good team, and the competition is coming in, and people will always like to see a good competitive game. So I think this is going to be a year I'm safe to say that you're going to see a lot of good competitive games between two teams. Now, Michigan State may not win them all, but they're going to be in some dog fights all year long.
Yeah, I think this could be one of those years where four or five losses might come out of this league with a winner. I mean, it's going to be that competitive, and you know, I mean, it'll be interesting to see too in late March and early April. Let's see how deep these teams can go, because yes. I think that, I mean, there's a good chance they could be filling up that Sweet 16. There's no doubt about that.
Yes, and I'm wondering, hopefully, really just hoping that Michigan State stays healthy. I mean, this seems like to be one of those years. They really need to stay healthy and can play at a high level when they are healthy. So I'm just hoping that they can stay healthy for the whole year. We haven't seen that very often in these past years, have we, Chris?
No, really haven't. And I'll tell you that maybe they got the injury bug out of the way early this year. Maybe that's a fortuitous sign, and they can get healthy in January and February instead of the opposite, where they're starting to battle the injuries. But then again, this conference is so tough, and it's going to be such an up-and-down physical battle every night that, you know, you almost have to anticipate some of those bumps and bruises along the way.
And, you know, I haven't mentioned Michigan, but Michigan is a very good team. They've really developed and grown over the year, last few years. Michigan is a very good team as well, so I don't want to ignore them or anything. But, you know, that's a team you're going to have to keep your eyes on them, too, because John Beilein's put together a very good squad down there in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, give him credit for going from just recruiting system players that fit exactly what he wants them to do to recruiting high talent guys like Glenn Robinson, Mitch McGarry, and Nick Stauskas. That, you know, this freshman class is as talented as any in the country, really. I mean, it's deep, it's talented, John told me this summer, he called it program changing talent. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of how Tom built the program here. He brought in those glue guys first, and then came the star power. And you know, Michigan's a force to reckon with right now. I know a lot of Michigan State fans don't want to hear that, but that's the reality. And, I mean, that's a good job that Beilein has done down there. And it'll be interesting to see with them if they can overcome their youthfulness this year and continue to play at such a high level like they're playing right now.
That's true. Hey, Chris, I look forward to seeing you this weekend. See you over there at Jennison Fieldhouse. We should have a lot of fun watching the old guys come back and play and give us some more memories.
I can't wait, although I'm wondering if they're going to have us way up top in the old press box where we're going to be kind of getting a little bit of vertigo. So
yeah, well, I used to sit up there all the time, so I'm no stranger to that. So I'll be right at home.
Can't wait, Earl. I can't.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, Chris.
All right, take care, Earl.
Okay, talk to you soon, bye-bye. Buddy. Bye-bye. And that's Chris Solari from the Lansing State Journal talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. 43 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870.
The flu arrived especially early this year, and it's a particularly tough strain. The good news? Doctors say this year's vaccine is well-designed, and more people are getting it. I'm Neil Conan. CDC Director Tom Frieden joins us. What are your questions about the flu? Email us now, talk@npr.org. The flu season starts early. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
A mostly sunny afternoon with a high today of 38 degrees. Tonight will be partly cloudy and we're expecting a low of 25. Sunny Thursday, the high tomorrow in the low 40s, and we'll stay in the low 40s for a high on Friday. It'll be mostly sunny. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Just like a lot of you, I'm looking forward to the alumni games, going over there and seeing a lot of the guys I haven't seen in years. And that should be a lot of fun, going over to Jennison Fieldhouse on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully a lot of you look over and have a lot of good memories and come over and see some of the guys. And maybe I'll get a chance to talk with some of you. It should be just an exciting evening of basketball here at Michigan State. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us. We've got Ray on the line. Ray, how you doing?
Oh, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Same to you, buddy.
Hey, I wanted to talk a little baseball for a minute, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You know, I'm a big Indians fan. I'm a glutton for punishment, right? Terrible for a long time, but they made that trade too for this top pitcher. They say out of ranked number three in the whole country, I guess.
And, yeah.
I take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Great pitchers to be heard.
Yeah, you hear a lot of them over the years. Yeah.
Yeah. The Indians just don't seem to ever make any big moves. I don't know. How's that? The Stubbs, this guy that. Outfielder, they got what kind of stats has he got?
He's got good stats, as you know. Many of the guys who are coming up, from the minors or just a year or two in the pros, a lot of them they have good stats, and I expect he has. I mean, but you know, he can always take it on town turn, or the other pitchers they figure him out eventually, and then when they figure you out, you've got to make adjustments. You just got to adjust your game, so you can hit the current level of major league pitching. So,
who did this guy play for? The Arizona Cardinals? Because it's a three-way deal. Arizona Diamondbacks or the Cincinnati Reds? The Stubbs guy that they traded for?
Yeah, I'm see if I can. I thought I had that. Look it up over there for you, Aaron. If you can see who they got and made that trade. I'm trying to look at it.
They said two for a top pitcher in Arizona. Or it was a three-way trade, I guess. Arizona and, Cleveland and Cincinnati Reds. But I was trying to figure out how good an outfielder, what kind of hitter he was. Do you have his average or home runs or RBIs there?
Well, we got Aaron over there. Aaron's got it. Got all the info there.
Here's another one I got to go by, Earl. Breston, Stevie Breston. I used to know him as an usher down there. He's a real nice kid. He went from Arizona to Kansas City, and he played 700 yards last year. But this year, they're not playing him at all. They haven't activated him in a month. And some of the players they got just don't seem to have any kind of stats. I'm wondering why they don't activate him anymore. You think they're going to trade him or cut him or what?
It's hard to say. You know, everything happens in the pros. If they got money problems, they'll probably trade him or cut him. If the money's stable, they'll probably try to keep him at a lower rate. That's what.
Well, he's getting 5 years, $5 million a year from last year, and I don't understand with that kind of money. You would think you would activate him when he's not injured, for a month.
Right.
You?
Yeah, you think they would, but you just never know what goes on. A lot of times they have injuries, but they don't tell you about it because players don't like to talk about injuries, especially if they got them, because they got to feel if they try to play with the injuries that they'll be exposed, and people will take advantage of them
bad Kansas City is. They're 2-10,
yep.
And they got two or three of their players that have been playing. I've been watching them every week, because I got the DirecTV over my daughters. And they got two catches for 10 yards all year, and I'm thinking, how can they put these guys over Breston? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, they might, but sometimes that just shows you how much they think of that other guy.
I don't know what the deal, because he always was a good teammate. He'd always give people high fives even when he wasn't playing, So it ain't like he's got a bad attitude. I don't understand. I can't find out anything on the internet, so I guess I'll just have to wait and see, because Bo just got hurt, so maybe he'll play this Sunday. Maybe they'll activate him for this Sunday's game.
Yeah, that's possible.
Have you heard any more about that baseball, the stats on those players yet?
You get any more stats on those?
Yeah, as far as who was traded, I think the biggest name here is the Reds got Sin Su Chu.
Chu, right.
Yeah, so.
This Stubbs guy, does he have, what kind of average in home runs does he have?
I don't have any stats for him, but.
I just wonder what kind of player he was.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of these names I don't recognize. Sin Su Chu is the only one that
They said they had that top right-handed pitcher. Those three right-handed pitchers the Indians got, does it say anything about them, how good they are, or what?
No, he says so. We'll get it for you. Just give us a listen tomorrow. We'll have it for you tomorrow.
Okay, I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, bye bye. Hey, Aaron. So, as you heard us talk a lot about the Jennison game, seemed like you're a little bit interested in coming and seeing some of the old timers play.
Yeah, I mean that's going to be an interesting game to say the least. I mean. There's a lot of history here. Obviously, it's unfortunate Coach can't be there.
If people aren't aware, I believe he just happened to have an injury come up or something. So
yeah, he fell on his hip.
And it's unfortunate he can't be there. But you know, it's still going to be a great time. Just in case people don't know, are tickets still available? How's that kind of working out? Do you know how that's kind of working out, just in case anyone?
Yeah, well, they still got tickets available. So if you want, you can go over to Jennison Fieldhouse and get some tickets for the game, that's for sure, and for the alumni game. So there's still tickets available. They didn't totally sell it out. So if you want, you can go on over there and get you some tickets. So, you know, or you can call over there and set up a time where you want to go over and get some tickets. But, you know, there are still tickets available for you.
Well, then there you go. That's your chance to get if you're into basketball and you want to watch an alumni game, whether it's a very exciting game. I guess we'll have to wait and see, but that's not what it's about. It's about bringing people together, having a good time. So, you know what? It's great. I think it's great for the community. I think you have to do these every once in a while.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think places do these things too often, but I think Michigan State's handled it well. And obviously, everyone's aware of what Mark Hollis has been doing and probably will continue to do. And, you know, he can just add this to his resume of, making a great having something at the Jennison Fieldhouse, where there's obviously a lot of history and a lot of people who are alumni know the history behind it. So I'm sure there's a lot of people looking forward to it. And I believe, are they doing any sort of coverage for this as far as radio or TV? I don't think they're doing any radio. So unfortunately, if you're not there, you're not going to be able to, listen to any sort of coverage for it. But nonetheless, it's exciting for sure.
Yes, maybe the Spartan Sports Network might do something with it. That's possible, but I'm not sure how much coverage they would give it. But it's certainly a good time of year, and of course with fans and with folks like you over, hopefully being over there watching the game, it should be a lot. It just should be a good time and a fun time for many of us to remember. Reminisce about Jennison Fieldhouse and some of the things that we saw in there. I sort of wish, like Chris said, that Mark could get Lionel Richie back, because Lionel Richie's went country on us, which is nothing wrong with that. He's a country singer now. But boy, if he could get back with the Commodores, and that would be a great concert if him and the Commodores could get together again. If they could do that, that would be special if they could get him somehow to come over and perform with the Commodores one more time.
Yeah, well, Mark probably would have had to raise my tuition to have that happen. So, that was probably something where it was probably considered, I'm sure. But it was probably one of those, well, how much are you willing to pay me? How big is your checkbook? So, it's unfortunate that didn't happen. But we'll take what we can get, because it's happening nonetheless. So I think it'll be a good time regardless.
Yes, we'll see that. It should be a good weekend, a fun weekend for Michigan State basketball fans. So hopefully you'll come out here and you'll enjoy yourself and just have a good time of seeing some of the old Spartans here. I have a good time just teasing some of the old guys and talk about how they used to play and what they could and can't do now. So I'm looking forward to having a good time sort of ribbing some of the guys when they get back here. Give us a call at Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, or toll free 877-9527-870. If you want a chance to win tickets, give us a call at area code 517-884-4783. That's 884-4783 for your chance to win tickets to MSU hockey coming up this weekend. So I think you'll like that as well. So give us a call if you want a chance to win tickets. We got tickets for Saturday night's game against Ferris State. So that should be a good hockey team, one of the best in the country. Ferris State has really become a dominant hockey program. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Once again, 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Let me just give you a little bit of information for Friday. Through the basketball office, we've extended an invitation to the former players and coaches who will be in town early enough for Friday's reunion game to join us. Come celebrate the MSU basketball and this university's tribute to one of the most important college basketball games ever played. That's the Rebounders Club Luncheon. Doors open at 10:45 a.m. The program starts at 11:45. So that should be a good program. And so if you get over there, that'll be nice to see. And I may try to get over there myself. But that Friday's going to be a busy day for all involved. That's for sure. Hey, call us up. Talk Sports with us right here on WKAR. And we've got John on the line. John, how you doing?
Hey, good, Earl. Hey, just a quick question. Do you know or hasn't been announced who the former players are going to be for the alumni game?
No, because they've got so many. I hear they got around 40 coming in.
Do they have, Magic going to be there?
Yeah, Jay's not going to be there, of course, but Magic will be there.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, but there's no announcement.
For each player that are coming in, they probably won't know till the last day. Some of them will be coming in at the last minute, that's for sure.
Okay, thanks for the info.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. Yeah, I wish I could tell you more about which players are going to be in. I just don't have the list here in front of me, but I expect to see a lot of the old players from the 70s, the 60s and the 70s, and up until the 80s and such. There'll be a lot of them here, and it should be a lot of fun seeing all the old and great outstanding players that have come through Michigan State here. Michigan State has been blessed with having a lot of very good basketball players. A lot of them went on and played pro ball as well, for sure. And that's one of the blessings of coming to a school like Michigan State as well, Aaron, because we've had a chance to see a lot of players that have gone on to the pros, and many of them became good students as well. Some of them might have came in not as good as students as they should be, but they left with a degree and with good study habits, and they learned a lot here at Michigan State. So I can speak to that. Some of those players, they did very well here. They had some struggles, but they ended up making it and doing well here at Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you probably could name off a couple of them that even went on to do other things besides basketball.
yeah,
just because you weren't some of them. I don't think all of them went pro.
Right.
But just because you don't go pro and basketball doesn't mean that you weren't a good college player.
Exactly.
So I mean, I don't know off the top of my head because I'm not a basketball historian for Michigan State, but I'm sure there's a handful of them that went on to be very successful, professionals in the working world and non-basketball world. So I'm sure there's going to be a diverse group of people there that. Went out of the pro game, but also went on to do great things to come back and say that they're proud of, that they learned from many things from Michigan State in their in their studies, and were able to apply in the real world that wasn't athletics. So I think it's going to be a great time to kind of see that diversity and kind of shows what Michigan State really has to offer.
Yes, and somewhere down the line, either near the end of this week or possibly in the first of next week, you and I are going to get together and do a special recording for Christmas Eve. We're going to predict all the games from Christmas Eve up before Christmas Eve up to the December 29th game, and then Alex and I will predict those other ones. But you and I are going to do those first bowl games to match wits, to see who's the best of those early bowl games. So I think I counted them this morning. There'll be 18 bowl games that we'll be predicting. So we'll see who wins the best of those 18 games.
Well, luckily my pockets are really, really big, and I can put a lot of money down that I'm going to win.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll just be able to quit this job, and then we'll be all set.
Okay,
so.
We'll have to see what we can do. I might can get a couple of nickels out of my pocket and match you there, and we'll see what we can do here.
All right, sounds good.
Okay. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. This is Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening, and come back and join us tomorrow right here on WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.